I thought I should start the show by throwing a whole load of statistics at you about, how many games have been played, how many minutes have been played, how many wins we've had, championships we've won. But I thought, no, let's just keep this simple. Welcome to the 100th episode of A View from the Bridge, a show that debuted on the 20th of October 2005, and the first voice you heard was this epic piece of commentary from Nigel Ringland.
But the Giants have it back again. Curtis Huppie, left wing boards. Oh, Fleury with a goal! Theo Fleury with the opening goal with almost the first touch of the puck! Just 1:08 into this game. A chance for the Giants, hopping behind the net, looks loose, put it in front of the crease. Goes it down, and Mobile, it's Fleury again! It's his second goal for the Belfast Giants! We've only ever been playing 4 minutes, and there he was in his favourite place, Wayne, right in front of the net.
Hello, and welcome to A View from the Bridge. My name's Patrick Smith.
And I'm Aaron Kernahan. On this week's show, we look back at the Giants' strong start to the league action with 2 victories. We look around the league at some other discussion points, including the Black Ice at Sheffield. We look at a strong start for Dundee, wins for Nottingham in Sheffield, and we look ahead to this weekend where the Giants face Coventry.
God knows how we got to 100 shows. How's it going, guys? We've got Davey in the co-chair.
Hiya, Patrick.
Gentlemen, fantastic weekend for the Belfast Giants. 2 wins, starting off with a game against the Edinburgh Capitals, which was a 5-0 shutout. And Coach, you were there. Fantastic, fantastic win for the Belfast Giants. Just the way Paul Eddy would have wanted to start the season.
Yeah, absolutely. A decent game of hockey. At times kind of hard to watch. Again, Edinburgh turned up, under strength. Didn't turn up with a full roster. I think they had 13 skaters and you just knew it was an inevitable result, an inevitable win for the Giants. But to be honest with you, it was kind of not a great first period, but good old Jeffrey Suez came up with the first goal in the second period and kind of got the game going. A lot of positives to take from it. I was really impressed with certain players on the team. I know we'll get into it more as the show goes on, but I really do like what I see overall. But it was a good, professional, comprehensive win.
Davey, you were watching yourself on the webcast, I believe, and had obviously had a great game, but the first goal from Suez in particular was an absolute peach with him threading it between the pad and the post. Coach said there was a slow start. I guess maybe we were expecting them to build up a bit, but when the Edinburgh are coming with 13 skaters, 5-0's fine.
It was a very stressful start for me because I had £30 on the Giants to win by 4 goals. And when it went in at the end of the first period, 0-0, it was sort of had a bit of a sweat on. But once the first one went in, the floodgates sort of opened. I don't want to jump on to Sunday night too quick, but interesting to see that on the Inferno they're saying that, Jeff Suez was anonymous on Sunday night, but he's managed to score the 2 game-winning goals over the first weekend. So, the guy's qualities came in. He mightn't be on fire yet, but he's 2 game-winning goals, so let's see what he's going to do whenever he really is on fire.
And I'll just think of you, Davey, Calvin Elfring, looking fantastic. I think a hell of a slap shot on him.
He's a beast. The guy, although you have to, I think when you're looking at Elfring, you have to take him as a pairing with Brookwell. Absolutely sensational pairing. I think I described them when I was talking on Sunday night, one wily old fox and one absolute stud. Brookwell is a massive, he's a beast on the power play, on the penalty kill, even strength, he can do it all. And Elfring just plays off that. Elfring has got so much space, that comes with experience as well. And those two, I said it on Sunday night, they're as good as a pairing. Individually, they're fantastic players, but as a pairing, they're as good as I've seen since I've been watching the Giants.
Coach, we'll come on to your appearance with Aaron Murphy on Giants Live TV in a second. But while you were on there, you were mentioning Elfring, and there was a bit of a comparison with Shute from Coventry last season. It was an impressive showing from the defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was Murph that kind of drew the comparison initially with Shute. He was, as you guys well know, I was ranting and raving about him from first game that I saw him last year. Elfring, he might not be as big as Shute in terms of the physical side of things, but his skill set, the skating prowess, his shot, everything, his transition, he's just got it all, and you can see the class of the guy. You can see that he was playing at a higher level and probably could still be playing at a higher level. Davey touched on it there, that pairing with Brockwell. you know, I'm majorly impressed with it. It allows Elfring to, you know, get up the ice, and Brockwell's stay-at-home D-man. But I really like the use by Eadie of Brockwell as the guy in front of the net on the power play. It's something that I've been crying out as a fan in the stands for the last few seasons. It's something that I think we've really missed out on ever since really the Paxton Schulte days. Rough sometimes did it, but we really missed the big guy at the net during the power play, and Brockwell does that fantastically well.
I was just going to jump in there, and Coach is just saying about the power play, you know. There's no, you know, Doug Christensen, fantastic hockey coach. We're not going to try and rewrite history and badmouth him here. However, his power play tactics, and already two games in or whatever, Sheffield fans are on crying about their power play has just become so static. Or sweep that completely aside and just talk about our own power play and our own special teams at the minute. We've only had the four games, the two against the Foxes and then the two home against the Caps and away against Cardiff. The power play and penalty kill have been outstanding. The movement on the power play, we're not getting to that point now where one's behind the net, one's in the wing, one's at the point, and we're all standing still just trying to play tip-top between us. The power play is constantly, it's fluid. There's two quarterbacks in the power play. They're cycling in the corners, and they're getting the clearance at the points then for the big booming shots from Elfring, from Sandrock. Higgins has been fantastic in the power play, and you know, long may that continue.
Well, I think it was something that, again, Murph and I were chatting about, was the fact that last year it was very one-dimensional. It was get the puck to Sandrock at all costs, and teams cottoned on to that after a very short period of time. Started to block off the shooting lanes for Sandrock, and there was like, do we have a plan B here? No, we don't. So it was just recycle, 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 and let's try and get it to Sandrock for the shot. And it just ended up, our power play was just turned out to be pretty poor last year, where it looks very, very fluid this season.
Well, one thing I would say about that, just in closing on it, about, you know, teams were able to work out that it was, you know, block the shot to Sandrock. When all the other players are standing still, that's an easy defensive play. But see, Sunday night, Sandrock's final goal on the power play, he shot from the point, missed. The Giants cycled it back to him, but their movement was so good, Cardiff couldn't defend the shot. He shot again. Once again, the Giants picked it up a corner and they got it back to him again, and his third shot nearly ripped the net out. You know, the movement is the big thing. As Paddy said, their one-dimensional power play is easy to defend against. Our power play is not one-dimensional this season.
I think if you look at it, I brought up that first goal by Suez. If you look at that first goal on against Edinburgh by Suez, that was on the power play. And the link-up between Elfring and Whitecotton, and then Whitecotton takes the puck to the point, and the movement round, as the whole unit moves, Whitecotton just passes it out to a wide open Suez, who just one times it into the goal, and that's the sort of space, like you say, we weren't getting from the power play in the last few seasons. I agree with you, Davey. I disagree fully with the whole rewriting of history about what's going on with, you know, Doug Christensen this and Doug Christensen that. I think that he was a great hockey coach first. He won us a championship and took us to a playoff final. But I do agree that the special teams have developed a lot more, even in these last few games. And it does look bright for the future. What I will say, moving on from that quickly, Davey, is you were watching the webcast, as I've got to see it myself. And I'm wondering if you think the coach's head's getting a bit too big with this whole webcast thing happening now.
Webcast this, webcast that. I was on with Murph. Blah, 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 blah. See how he gets on Saturday night before we make too much more comment.
Coach, is this you moving on?
Definitely not, mate. I never forget my own and all that. But, you know, when a man's talents are recognised, you know, you've got to try and take advantage. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I enjoyed chatting to Murph. You know, we've chatted to him at the playoffs and what have you. You obviously know him pretty well, Paddy. But he's a great guy, and he is a hockey enthusiast. He loves talking hockey, and did a wee bit with him, as you say, on Saturday night, and I'm going to be covering the webcast with him against Coventry on Saturday coming. So really looking forward to it.
If you want to hear,
and it's worth probably worth mentioning that, you know, that's three webcasts now we've got to see with the sort of new lineup, and obviously Sis being away this week and Coach stepping in. It's been a fantastic product so far this season. There's been over the last, I'm sure it's going 5 years plus now, and there used to be a thread on the Kingdom of Giants all the time. There used to be problems on Monday morning, people on complaining, people complaining about the commentary, about the camera work, about the picture, about the speed, everything. And season on season, credit to Ronan and Dave. They've really worked hard and getting a product that is top of the line when it comes to the EIHL. It's top of the box, like.
Well, guys, I tell you, I'm not telling you a word of a lie here. I was actually literally amazed on Saturday night whenever I went up into the box where the guys do the webcast. I was honestly amazed at the amount of people who are involved within the webcast and making sure it runs successfully. It is a serious operation, and Ronan, Dave, Laurie, and the guys do a absolutely fantastic job and bring a really good service. And I think you're right. I think with the likes of Murph and Sizz doing the commentary this year, you know, two guys who know their hockey inside out. Murph's a brilliant play-by-play guy, and you know, kudos to Ronan and all the guys at Giants Live TV. They've done incredibly well.
Well, moving on to Sunday night, the Giants went to Cardiff, traditionally a very difficult place to go, and we've talked about how Cardiff have bulked up over the off season and brought in a much tougher team and a good goalkeeper and that. But the Giants went in with Lacosta actually being out injured, Joe Myers nets and took a 7-2 win. Davey, we'll talk to you about that in just a second, but before we do that, you got a chance to talk to Paul Eddy about the win, and the actual interview went out on Audioboo but didn't get the full thing, so what we'll do now is we'll play that.
Joining us just after the game here is Coach Paul Eddy. Paul, happy with the win, happy with the performance?
Yeah, very happy with the win and the performance. I mean, it was a close game, you know. It was only, it was 2-2 at one time, and then we got up 3-2, and after that we didn't really look back. You know, we scored a few more goals. But their goalie, you know, their backup goalie who played tonight actually played quite well for the first half of the game. And finally, I think we put enough pressure on him to break him down a little bit. But he wasn't really at fault for the loss in terms of for Cardiff. But overall, you know, it helps us, of course, that their number one goalie's hurt. But we still have to go out and play a good game and get some goals. And, you know, Cardiff battled hard against us. And, you know, like I said, we finally broke them down and you know, got the win.
Not really the physical encounter I was expecting up until maybe 10-15 minutes in the second period when they really came to the game, but after that they faded away once we got that go-ahead goal again.
Well, I think people are forgetting that, you know, we have a good hockey team and we're here to play hockey and win games that way, but we also have a fairly big hockey team. We're strong physically, we're in good shape, and we have guys who can fight if they need to fight, so it's not like teams are going to intimidate us. It's not going to happen.
Elfring and Brookwell, quite an axis. Are you happy with the way they've started?
Well, I'm really impressed with both of them. I mean, you know, they've done a fantastic job. And I think the fact that they're playing so well takes the pressure off Sandrock and takes the pressure off Mason and even takes the pressure off Davey Phillips and Kevin Phillips. So when you have two guys playing like the level they're playing at, that's really going to help the team this year. And, you know, all six of our defensemen have played well. You know, Kevin Phillips and Davey Phillips have done a fantastic job for us. I mean, they killed a lot of good penalties for us on Saturday, which kept our you know, older guys fresh for the game tonight. And if we get everybody playing and contributing, it makes a big difference.
We started the game rolling three defensive lines and three forward lines. Did all the penalties and the itsy-bitsy things go on upset the game plan, or was that just something we adapt to?
No, you just adapt to it. I mean, we have guys. I mean, Roberts comes off the bench and takes someone's spot and does a good job for us, you know. And so I'm not worried if we lose a guy or two. We have a couple guys on the bench who can step in and you know, play some shifts for us. So, and, you know, it's going to happen games in a league where you guys are going to get thrown out or thrown into the box for 2, 4, or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And I mean, Sandrock's at it. He was in the box for 10 minutes, and guys just had to, you know, cover for him.
Captain's performance from Adam Keefe tonight?
Well, it was a great performance. A couple of goals for him. So, I mean, that's good for his confidence. And he scored in the first game also. So, you know, we're turning him into a bit of a goal scorer right now. But, hey, that's, you know, that's the team we have. A lot of guys can contribute. And I think people forget that, like, you know, Lloyd and Keith and Garside can also contribute offensively. And that's, you know, a very strong line for us.
And finally, just with Davey Phillips walking past, you mentioned team there. When Adam Keefe was in the altercation with Conboy, bit naughty from Conboy. Good to see his teammates jumping in.
Yeah, I mean, he jumps our guy when he's down on the ice and starts throwing punches. So Davey did the right thing to jump in there and grab him and keeping him from doing any more damage. So, yeah, but, you know, it was a big mistake for Cardiff, because he took a 5 minute, and in that 5 minute we scored to go ahead 3-2. So we got the momentum back, whereas they, you know, we're up 2-0, they get two goals, they have the momentum, and then they take a bad penalty like that, and we score. So that really, that play helped us to win the game.
And onwards to Coventry now next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we got a few days to think about that one, so I'm not really thinking about that at the moment. But you know, we'll look forward to get back to the Odyssey and playing a good game.
So, Davey, a great interview there with Paul Eddy. How was the game? It seemed to be a quick start for the Giants, but didn't go all their own way until maybe towards the end.
Well, before I just go on the game, or going back to that interview, I have to say something about Paul Eddy. When he came here, I was probably one of his biggest detractors. I'm not going to do a complete flip because I'll never forgive and I'll never forget what happened on the 26th of 10, 2002. But the guy's an actual gentleman. Couldn't go out of his way enough to look after me there on Sunday night, and just like to put it on record and say thanks to him, and hopefully he'll be willing to do interviews with us again. Moving on to the game.
Who'd have thought that, eh?
I know.
Who'd have thought that?
I was expecting Cardiff to come out, especially with it being their home opener, a few boys on their roster trying to put their marker down, especially in front of the home fans. But the game, like I was tweeting about it, the game was tepid for the first 30 minutes. The Giants got the goal ahead. Myers was very jittery in the goal for the first sort of 5-6 minutes. The Giants didn't really get enough on him, but they got one bit of a wraparound, came out, Myers was lying on the ice, and they've tucked it away 1-0. And it was like that to the end of the first period. Keefe had a bit of a coming together with Plumpton. And whenever Keith was serving his, that was something like 5 minutes, 3 seconds to go to the end of the period. So Keith's gone to the dressing room, and suddenly then Conboy's decided he's going to be a big lad, and he started running around for a few minutes, trying to put himself about. But when Keith was on the ice, he was nowhere to be seen until obviously their incident later in the game.
The incident later on in the game was interesting because it seemed to maybe change the momentum of what Cardiff were doing, and eventually, you know, was it. There seems to be a lot of, what's the word, disagreement as to how that came about. And then we're talking about the incident between Keith and Conboy with David Phillips getting involved. And
I can only tell you as how I seen it, because I was in the away block, you know where it was. Wasn't far, therefore, from the blue line, the defensive blue line where it happened. Now, the Giants had gone 2-0 up. Cardiff had came out in the second period, not great. The Giants got the second goal. And then Cardiff just burst into life. They got the crowd engaged. Their players were engaged. Their forecheck was absolutely outstanding. The Giants couldn't get out of their own zone. They got the goal. They got the power play goal. And they were all over the Giants. Paul Eddy calls a timeout. Seemed to settle the whole thing down for just a few minutes. And then there was the incident where I can't remember who the other Giants player was, because this all happened and then there was a scrum immediately. But two players seemed to go for the same hit. Keith came off worst, and Keith was on the ice. Conboy, for me, just dropped the gloves and started teeing off on him when he was on the ice. Now, he got the cries of chicken, chicken. You know, he wasn't in a position to defend himself. He wasn't in a position to fight. He wasn't allowed to get back on his feet. So the chicken chants are just embarrassing for the people that were doing them. Conboy, rightly, you know, Davey Phillips dived in, pulled him off. Conboy got through out of the game. Phillips got through out of the game. But the Giants then got the 5-minute major power play and took full advantage. Suez scoring the game winning goal on it. And there was still, I think, 1:46 or something left in the power play after that. And they were able to then take the sting out of, didn't give Cardiff the chance to come back after the go ahead goal. And just then, as the game wore on, Cardiff just ran out of steam. The Giants just pounded them into submission, really.
I sent you a text yesterday regarding the fact that David Phillips was thrown out for third man in, yet there was no fighting majors handed to either Keith nor Conboy. And the question was, if there was no fighting majors, how was he third man in?
Well, I believe, I haven't actually looked it up, but I should have. But I believe that probably the EIHL rule is that an altercation doesn't have to actually be a fight, and that it's probably two players involved in it, but one doesn't even have to really, you know, be participating. As long as there's two players involved in something and somebody makes the third person, then they're liable for the third man in.
You're absolutely correct. I had a look.
Thank you.
IIHF rules state to make a distinction between an altercation and a fight. And that's very, very clear in the rules. And for a third man in penalty, it's being involved as a third person in an altercation. So, 100%. Well done, Davey.
Yeah.
Coach, we talked about how big this Cardiff team were. So for the Belfast, okay, we take into account that they didn't have their number one netminder, but a 7-2 win in the big blue tent is nothing to be sniffed at.
I'll try and answer your question without a series of innuendo like Davey did in that last 5 minutes chat.
Sorry, if I did. Completely.
Jeepers creepers, Davey.
Completely. So guys,
we'll have to put an 18 rating on this podcast. Yes, absolutely. Listen, going to the big blue tent, as we've touched about already in previous podcasts, is a tough place to go and play. And to come away, I don't give a damn. Myers was in nets. Happy days whenever I heard that. And for us to come away with a 7-2 win is nothing short of superb. It's great. 2 points. Other teams, you can be rest assured, when Nottingham, Sheffield go there, they're going to have really tough games. So they are, and I expect Cardiff will get better as the season progresses and they'll take points off some of the big guys. So for us to get in there early in the season and get 2 points, over the moon.
One thing I'd like to ask yourself about, Davey, because I'm a bit disappointed, first of all, in the Cardiff Devils with regards to their infrastructure. We're now Tuesday night. We've still not seen the highlights of the game, but most other teams have produced highlights, put them online. We usually see highlights online, and we do know they have the technology to stream it, so in my opinion, where are they? You probably get to see them by about Friday. Anyway, one of the goals that came up was the half volley by Adam Keefe.
Unbelievable. Was it the final goal of the game?
It was the final goal of the game, yeah.
Cardiff on the power play. Giants have nipped the puck at the top of the zone. Lloyd has broken off down the left wing. He's opened his body up to shoot. The D-man's gone down to block the shot. Lloyd has saucer passed it over the top of the D-man, and Keith coming in straight through the slot on the half volley. Water bottle off the top. Absolutely blinding goal. And Adam Keefe, rightly so, should be absolutely delighted with it.
Did he receive Man of the Match award in that game?
He did indeed. I tweeted just before the end that, for me, Adam Keefe, 2 goals, fight, the way he protected his team, the way is just his all-round game. Now, you could have picked a whole lot of. White Cotton was sensational. Elfring, Brookwell, all had great games. But I said that Keefe should get it, but I would be very surprised if they give him it in the big blue tent.
Yeah.
But fair play to whoever was picking it. To pick the right man on the night,
and a bit of moaning from various members, you say, of the Inferno, and some that have come on to Kingdom of the Giants to talk about how the Devils were suffering from bus legs and they were just tired from their trip to Fife.
Yeah, try playing for Belfast every week, for goodness sake. You know, it's widely recognised throughout the league that Belfast have the toughest travel schedule out of any team in the league. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying that.
I will give them that they had a hard weekend and that they had full time round trip to probably 7-8 hours and a coach to Fife, a game 7 or 8 hours back on. But they're back in their own beds at maybe 4 o'clock in the morning and they're sleeping all day. You know, they're professional athletes. The Giants had a game Saturday night, so had Cardiff, had a game on Sunday night. I'm not sure the fatigue came into it as much as heart, and I would be disappointed for Jared Adams that his players didn't show very much heart, certainly in the first period and certainly in the last period. Cardiff played for 15 minutes on Sunday night.
Right. Well, gentlemen, what I'll do is, how would you sum up then that weekend, Davey? Success. 5-0 wins and a 7-2 win. Nothing but success there. Yeah. Coach?
Yeah, superb, mate. 4 points. That's what we wanted. Puts pressure on the opposition in terms of at the top of the league. You know, likes of Sheffield, obviously, you know, had a good start and then obviously a bad game at the against Nottingham, so albeit that was a Challenge Cup game, but it's good just to get 2 wins early.
Here are your 60 seconds on the Gander Flyers. There's been hockey in Gander since 1940. The Canadian Air Force ran leagues for staff and crew, and now hockey is back in Gander for a second season following a 16-year hiatus from the sport. The Flyers play in the Newfoundland Senior Hockey League along such titans of the game as the Grand Fall, Windsor Cataracts and the H.J. Bartlett Electric Blades. Playing out of the beautiful yet ultra-modern Gander Community Centre, they have recently signed former Giant Pistol Pete Campbell. Since leaving the Giants, Campbell has had brilliantly successful stints in Denmark, Italy and last year had 34 goals and 55 assists with the Thousand Island Privateers in the Federal Hockey League of Upstate New York. Expect Campbell to be at the top of the charts again this season. Returning between the pipes for the Flyers is Patrick O'Brien. O'Brien was recently compared to a retiring Mika Kiprusoff and last year finished the the season with a 4.90 goals against average and a save percentage of 876. The Flyers season faces off at the Clarenville Caribous on November the 2nd, and here to view from the bridge will keep you updated on their charge of the championship. You can follow the Gander Flyers at www.ganderflyers.com and on Twitter at Gander Flyers.
Let's have a look at some of the talking points that have taken place just in the last couple of days or just over the weekend. And one of the things that everybody's talking about is the appearance of the black ice behind the goals at the Motorpoint Arena in Sheffield. Now, it all came to light when the Sheffield Steelers put on a time-lapse video of their ice being painted. And when it was noticed that the basically what would be known as the trapezium behind the net in the NHL, that sort of area, appeared to be painted black. On closer inspection, it seemed to be this dark blue, navy style, like it's been painted with markers. But, Davey, it doesn't seem right to have that, because I think the IIHF rules are pretty clear that from the goal line backwards it has to be white. So, what are your opinions on them doing this just for sponsorship?
Their ice is like one giant sponsor. I don't know why they had to use the black sponsor in this particular area. Why not just have it somewhere else in the ice? You know, Dave Sims has came out and said, oh, those rules only apply to IIHF tournaments stuff. I think he's probably wrong there. I think they're in the wrong on what they've done. It doesn't make it easy for the goal judges. It probably doesn't even make it easy on camera to spot it. As far as I was concerned, the goal crease was to be blue. The interior of the ice of the net was to be white. I'm not 100% sure on the rule of what goes on behind the net, but certainly the actual area of the ice that the net covers where the puck can go into was to be white.
I think all you have to do is see some of the comments from some of the players. I know Robbie Sandrock has passed some comment on it, and a few of the other players. It is madness. You know, it is a, you know, spot the puck competition, and you know, like, ice hockey is played at a great speed, and all it takes is for a player to lose sight of the puck and all the rest, and it could be a monster collision. It's just what I just find it so stupid from the point of view that, you know, why create something? Why create a drama out of something that just doesn't need to be created? You know, as Davey said, put the sponsorship somewhere further on up the ice. Keep the back of it white. It's just silly. It's just silly.
One of the comments from the mouthy guy from the Midlands was the fact that I think it was brought up with saying, you know, you might be breaching rules, blah blah blah. His opinion was, well, they're paying enough of us enough to do it. Well, surely, how much you're getting paid in sponsorships shouldn't actually affect what could develop into a serious part of the game. You know that if that starts to affect Sheffield in any way, their players, it'll be gone in a heartbeat, and nobody will care about how much it cost. If a goal gets disallowed because the referee couldn't see the puck, it'll be gone. Especially if it was a Sheffield goal being disallowed, yeah. And I don't see the point in creating that uncertainty. I agree. There's no reason to create that uncertainty by putting that sponsorship there, because
there's enough controversy throughout the course of the season about disallowed goals and about a goal judge putting a green light on and the ref saying it's not. Like, there's just enough already without further fueling that, and I just think it's so irresponsible. I just find it so stupid.
Also, when you see a close up of it, it just looks like it's been coloured in with a felt tip pen. It looks pretty bad.
It's just stupid.
Anyway, also one of the talking points that came out in the last few days was the belief that there will be no Sky TV coverage, no Sky Sports coverage so far this season. Which, coach, being now a TV man like you are, it's a bit of a blow to the league.
It's massive, Paddy. We chatted about it in text, the three of us back and forward yesterday. It's actually quite sad because, you know, the league has improved year on year, and again, it's improved again this year. You just look at the quality of the import that's coming in, and, you know, the product that the league, the teams are putting out in the ice is bloody good now. It really is. You know, our imports are, you know, some of them, a lot of them are up in the Super League quality again, and For it not to be shown on Sky is so disappointing. I would love to know the reasons behind it. I believe it was just purely Sky decided not to show it. That must be on the back of maybe average figures or viewing figures last season. I don't know, but it's majorly disappointing for the sport.
Davey, one of the things like coaches mentioned about viewing figures, the actual show itself started to get batted around the schedule. I don't think you could tune it at the same time 2 weeks in a row and find it in the same spot. Now that's going to affect both the show, the viewings, and maybe the choice to bring it in further. But having a show like this is key for development of the league and getting the bums on seats, isn't it?
I think that you're probably right in so much as you could find that show at 11:30 on Sky Sports 4 or something on a Friday night, or as you say, the times are all over the place. It's going to be disappointing for us that you only get to see a lot of the players now when they're going to face off against the Giants. You're not getting to see what they're doing on a weekly basis and really build up that knowledge that you like to build up of the other teams. It's for sure it's disappointing. I was saying to you yesterday, every team still has to submit a game tape. Every game's recorded. I just wonder, is there another medium out there that's going to take it on or not? But it's certainly going to be a bit of a mess.
Well, a lot of the teams do put their footage and highlights online. I know Sheffield do. The Belfast Giants obviously put in the Giants Live TV do it. Or you can download the games afterwards now is one of their options. I know Cardiff eventually will do it. Nottingham don't seem to. Brayhead don't seem to. But like you say, the information and the video footage is there. Coventry do. It's getting it out there. We get a YouTube channel or compiling it somehow. Well, I think it's key for both getting coverage of the league or basically putting that medium out there. It's just very, very disappointing. I did contact Chris Ellis, the Elite League media manager, today regarding what the situation with Sky was. He says that even though there is no program now, it hasn't actually been ruled out for the whole season, which bodes well, if there is the option there for it to come in, because coach, I think that one of the best things we have is having the playoff final at the end of the season live on Sky Sports.
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. The one, I suppose, probably more so last season, it appeared to be a criticism that I would have would be we ended up having games. How do I put this in a politically correct way? I thought if Sky were going to run with a game, they should run with a Nottingham-Sheffield, a Belfast-Nottingham, a Belfast-Sheffield, a Nottingham or Coventry or something, a really top end game. Last year there was just maybe a few too many lesser type games, for want of a better term, probably incorrect, politically incorrect term, but I think you know what I'm saying. The playoff finals, superb coverage, absolutely brilliant coverage at the end of the season, but if we go through three quarters of a season or half a season without much coverage, it's really, really disappointing.
Well, having a look around the league, we'll move on and see what happened. The really good weekend for Dundee with two wins, one against Brayhead and against Coventry. Sheffield took a win against Coventry at the Sky Dome, but I think that win was punctuated by two brilliant goals for Coventry, both single-handedly done by Adam Henrich and Ginland. Nottingham went to, we spoke about the biggest rivalry in Europe, and Nottingham went to the Motorpoint Arena, took on Sheffield and the Black Ice, and came away with a 4-1 win. Whereas for Brayhead, an absolutely horrendous weekend with a loss to Dundee and a loss to Hull. Guys, any real surprises there outside? Maybe coach, the Brayhead one was a big surprise.
Yeah, it was. Finner, geez, that guy just isn't getting it easy in the Elite League at all. As a coach. He's had a poor start again with Brayhead after quite a bit of chat that they've improved in all areas. I'll be brutally honest and say I haven't really taken that much interest in Brayhead's recruitment, but I know certainly with the team that they've put together and what you read, the two results that they've had at the weekend, Finner's going to be feeling a wee bit of pressure already.
Davey, Hull seemed to have come as a bit of a surprise package there, especially against Brayhead. And the reports that came from Nottingham the first night was that they weren't really... They were battered in the end, but they put up a brave fight. Hull could be a dangerous one this season.
they've got some good. They've recruited well again. Cloutier always seems to recruit big at the back and good scoring up front. You know, they're going to be another team that are going to be able to beat anyone on any given night, but they probably just don't have enough to, you know, mount a challenge to the top end of the league.
Coach, were you surprised by the result in the Motorpoint Arena?
Yes, I was. But, you know, again, I was thinking about it just over the last day or so. From a Nottingham perspective, they keep incredibly quiet now, don't they? You know, in terms of Nottingham on the social media side of things, you just don't see them blowing themselves up really that much, apart from whenever you see the odd Gary Moran interview. But, you know, they keep, in some ways, they just keep a very low profile. And they did that last year as well. I remember us talking about it on the podcast as well. And, you know, Nottingham have put together another really, really good side. I believe the guy Wren that they have, from what a few tweets that I've received back and forward, some of the Nottingham fans saying that Wren is as good, if not even slightly better than David Ling. Well, I can tell you that's an ominous sign for the rest of the teams around the league, because Ling was the MVP last year. He was different class. And Nottingham have a very good side. Sheffield will, Big Doug will have bag-skated those guys today. Something shocking, because they on the other hand, have built themselves up over the course of the summer about this massive budget, about, you know, the quality of this player, the quality of that player, you know, how good they performed, albeit on a losing side of things over in Eastern Europe whenever they were playing pre-season. And they're going to be bitterly disappointed with the squad that they've put together. That's a heavy defeat, really, against Nottingham. That's a heavy defeat at home. 7,500 people in the arena. Going to be majorly disappointing.
I have to say that Nottingham may not have shouted about it during the season, but they certainly went to the end of the season with their Grand Slam books and their diamond rings that they were throwing about.
That's when they do it, though, whenever you've got the medals and the trophy sat in front of you.
Davey, there were over 7,000 people in the Motorpoint Arena for this game, and we know ourselves, quite funny, when Doug was Giants coach, and we had a big turnout and a big game, that sometimes we just didn't come up trumps, and that seems to be what happened in Sheffield on Sunday night.
Well, Sheffield have sort of taken on Doug, and they've said that a bit of budget. Now Doug's since came out and said that he's got a smaller budget than last year. Who knows where the truth is? But as Coach says, there, Nottingham are just going about their business very well. And for the biggest rivalry in Europe, you know, Sheffield aren't good enough to be in the biggest rivalry in Europe. Let's be honest, the biggest rivalry in Europe is the Giants and the Panthers. Let's take it on from now on.
Fair play. Did either of you guys see the footage of Jalan's goal for Coventry against Sheffield?
No.
then I suggest you look it up on YouTube. Absolute stunner, where he just basically undresses the defence, nutmegs one of the D men, and then just slips it with Deke Doyle and just slips it past him. Absolutely brilliant goal. Already an early contender for goal of the season for me. It was very, very impressive. Well, we've only got one game to play this weekend. That's against the Coventry Blaze. Coventry, they say, have suffered two losses this weekend. The 4-2 loss to Sheffield that I already mentioned, and a 3-1 loss to Dundee. Whereas Belfast themselves have two wins. Coach, how do you see this going? Soderstrom, you know, they've got Coventry of their own new era, so to speak. Beginning with Soderstrom taking over from the legacy of Paul Thompson, and it's the way they're playing. We're hoping it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, again, you know what I said about Finner. They're having a tough start. Matty Soderstrom's had a tough start as well, and we'll obviously be looking to capitalise on that further and build more pressure for him with a victory on Saturday night at the Odyssey. Coventry are a good team. You know, as Big Doug and quite a few of the other coaches have said, Coventry's top line, any team in the league would cry out for Coventry's top line. They're a dangerous team. We know that. We have come stuck against them on plenty of occasions, so I have over the years. I still think that we are the better team, and I expect us to win.
but it's certainly not going to be a walkover. It's not going to be a 5-0 Edinburgh. I can't see it being a 7-2 type game against the Devils either. I think it'll be a tight enough game. I think it's going to be a physical game. You know, you can be rest assured, Coventry have had two defeats now, one pretty bad defeat away to Dundee on Sunday, which, you know, you would be expecting Coventry to pick up 2 points at. And, you know, I expect them to come out all guns blazing.
Davey, last season these games were barnstormers more often than not, especially the rivalry that was happening between Keith and Olsen. There's been a bit of a personnel change. They've lost the likes of Guthrie, Shute, the Leibs, you know, Edgner sadly gone to illness, we wish him well. But they've brought in the likes of Tate and Janand and Michael Henrich, Adams Briller. So there is the guts of a strong team there, but Olsen being there as well, there might still be that fire.
Well, hopefully Keith and Olsen will keep each other occupied on Saturday night. I think Coach is absolutely right in what he's saying there. Coventry's top line is outstanding and would grace any squad across the league, but I think they're going to struggle this season with just their lack of depth. I think there'll be a bit of a hangover from Tomo leaving and Soderstrom's first season really in full charge of the team. I know, like, he was learning the ropes from Tomo last season, and it's going to take him time to really stamp his own name on the roster. But they've brought in, as you say, quality. Tate's a good player. Janad, Henrik, they're all going to be good players. But I think that hopefully this weekend we will get them when they're still cold at the start of the season here, still struggling for a bit of form, and we'll be able to get the points and get back out of town.
This weekend we'll also see the full debut of Neil Russell on GiantsLive.tv. Davey, are we expecting big things from this debut?
You know, Simon Kitchen has set the bar very high over the last couple of webcasts, so we'll just have to see how the coach gets on. Like, the guy knows his hockey. Obviously, he'll be, you know, expecting us to fill in the blanks via text for him, you know, on the little room things that he doesn't really know about. But we're happy to pass on what knowledge we have to him. You know, we're a team of the View from the Bridge here, and we'll wish him every success in his next step up.
Any nerves, Coach?
No, I'm not the nervous type, mate. Just anticipation more than anything else. Not looking forward to it, as I said earlier on. You know, Murph makes things very easy whenever it comes to you know, chatting hockey and what have you, and kind of commentating on things. And he's a good man for Spark, a bit like yourself, Paddy, chairing the leading the ship here on the View from the Bridge and on the podcast. You know, good open questions and all the rest, and that's something I love talking hockey, as does Murph, so really looking forward to it. And I think it'll be a great game as well.
It's going to be a great game. I just wondered, like, if it doesn't go well, Coach, you know, and you get dropped, will you be moving to, like, the Coventry webcast or the whole one?
No, mate, I know my role. Ronan, the guys have asked me to step in whenever Big Sizz isn't available, so he's off to Las Vegas for the next couple of weeks or next couple of games anyway, so I'm stepping in for those games, so looking forward to it.
And you get that. So the game's going to be 7 o'clock on Saturday night. If you can't get down to the Odyssey Arena, GiantsLive.tv, where Aaron Murphy and Neil, the Coach Russell, will be covering all the events that are taking place on the Odyssey Ice. Any other games out there, gents, that catch your eye? It's either we only have one game ourselves this weekend, but there's a full fixture list out there. No, Coach, no. Davey, no?
Well, I suppose Saturday night sees Brayhead and Cardiff. Brayhead struggling for form. Finnerty going back to Cardiff. Cardiff need to come back with a decent result. That'll probably be, for me, the game that I'll be looking for the score from.
I'm going to be brutally honest and say I have no idea what the other games are this weekend. Haven't even had a look at it yet.
That's good research.
I know the stuff in Coventry, don't worry about that.
I have to agree with Davey in that game, but also the one that's intriguing me is the one at the most versatile arena between Hull and, again, Cardiff. Like, you know, Hull seem to have been put a bit of a strong team together, and it'll be interesting to see how Cardiff are going to go there. If it's still going to be Joe Marsh or whether Lacoste will be back by that point, but yeah, that'll be an interesting one for me.
You know, it's a long, long old drive.
Oh, it's a long drive. So, yeah, well, you know,
if they don't manage to come back with the points, it'll be, you know.
Oh, the bus. It'll be the bus legs or the referee or something like that. Well, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. incredibly, this is the 100th episode of
a Yes, Paddy, and just as you say that, I think it would be wrong for us to go any further without at least making some mention to the fantastic effort that you've made over the last, how many years is it now? It must be 5, 6, 7 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when the podcast first came out. I've always loved listening to the podcast. I always really wanted to get on it, and then obviously I've became regular at it. I remember I used to download it onto an old MP3 player that you plugged into your computer, and that's how long ago it was, and it used to take you an hour night jogging with me. And but fantastic, 100 not out, something Coach Russell doesn't get to say very often. So, fair play to you, and thanks for everything you do.
Thanks very much.
That's no, lovely. Listen, and I'll decode my usual phrase to echo what Davey said. Listen, mate, you've been the captain in charge of this ship, so you have from day one, season one, and you know, listen, fair play to you. You've done a fantastic job, and here's the another 10 years.
No, I have to say, it's been a pleasure to do. It's like, it was. I'll give the guy at the start of the show his dues. His dues. Aaron Kernan.
This show is just full of stuff this week.
Brilliant. It was Aaron Kernan's idea to start this podcast back when just after Theo Fleury was part of the Belfast Giants, and maybe, you know, put it out there, and we've been doing it ever since then. It's to reach 100 shows the way we have has been fantastic. It's a pleasure to do it, because when you've got a passion for your team the way that we all have, you love talking about it. And so and the fact that actually people take time to listen is very flattering. It's very enjoyable to do. So say, here's to the next 100.
Well done, mate.
Cheers, guys. Well, thanks again, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you as always, and we'll hopefully have more to talk about next week once the Coventry game. Good luck, Coach.
Cheers, Patrick.
Yeah. Thanks, Davey.
See you later, mate. Bye-bye.
100 shows. Nearly finished. If you want to get in contact with us here on A View from the Bridge, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com is our email. You can go to Twitter at AVFTB. That's at AVFTB. I guess that replaced the old rant line, for those who remember it all the way back then. Don't think anybody ever used the rant line. Or you can go to our website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Before I go, there's actually a lot of people I want to say thanks to, because it's not just me. You look at some of the people behind the scenes, the technical brains behind all of this is Martin McAllister. Since the start, he's been the guy uploading them. He's been the guy who's been helping us just put them out there and helped us on kingdomofthegiants.com. This show wouldn't go online if it wasn't for Marty, and he does a top job. You go back to Aaron, you heard at the very start of the show. He was the guy who came up with the idea. Connor, who was a presenter for many years. It's been a very enjoyable show to have. We've had past players, we've had current players, we've had past managers, owners. We've had such great support from the Belfast Giants organization. Again, the show wouldn't happen if it wasn't for everybody who was involved, and I have to say, I wouldn't do it myself if I didn't enjoy doing it. It's been an absolute ball, and let's see if we get another 100 or how far we go. And wherever you are this weekend, I really do hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.